Inshallah, to start off tonight's program, we are going to have two poetry recitation. Inshallah, first we're going to welcome our sister Fatima Najdi. Followed by that, there is going to be a recitation over the speakers for Brother Hassan Salami. If you could please help me welcome our sister with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. My condolences to you all. And the 12th Imam, the Imam of our time, for the death of Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam. Inshallah, if we can begin with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. I am Ali. Zahra leaves me lonely. She is close to her Lord. I am hurting, but I must keep reminding. Man is ever forgetful. Remember to commit. Don't sit. Rush forward to that door and wall. For months, I have tried to console my most earnest supporter. Our Muhammad left us, and with him so too did any and all after. Sorrow has settled in, as all peace has left the Prophet's family. My dearest wife, Fatima, has been martyred to defend me. My rose has been crushed, and my hands won't stop shaking. They have wiped her tears as the tears from my eyes keep falling. I heard a rib break from another room, and I rushed to my Zahra. It rips me apart like the baby inside her is wailing for his father. What in me doesn't shake when she is the reason for creation? My beloved Zahra owns my heart, yet is beaten and broken. Doesn't everyone know I'm blind without her heavenly light? Doesn't everyone know her separation leaves me without might? I've protected the Prophet and have swiftly lifted Khaybar's gates, but I quiver at the sound of Fatima crushed between two fates. Every door and wall begs for forgiveness and mercy from me. But don't they know that I ask for the same thing for letting her defend me? Towards death she is a forerunner, and she has left me behind. Show me where to find comfort as the Lady of Light leaves me blind. Struck, she fell, and I felt the earthquake beneath me violently. I saw our house ready to fall and turn to ash, but didn't for this lady. I heard Muhsin weeping in her womb as he dies before his birth. I cry out to the heavens, does no one know what her blood is worth? Does no one know what her blood is worth? I see her bruises as she hides her pain from me to keep me calm. No one else has been or will be a greater support to their imam. No one has been or will be a greater support to their imam. Listen to me. Let me share this clearly, O people of the age. I am hurting, but I must keep reminding, man is ever forgetful. Remember to commit. Don't sit, rush forward, and refuse to be idle. Listen and pay attention. Look at how your mother has protected me. Look at how her relief and comfort amidst her martyrdom sets her free. Where is your allegiance if it is not to your imam, even if he is hidden? Where are you walking if it is not behind him or in front of him for protection? What do you hold safe if it is not the house which Fatima raised? What do you hold safe if it is not the house which Fatima raised? Where is your love if not to the family of Muhammad the praised? If you don't know how to serve your imam, look no further than her. If you want to know your imam, don't hesitate to ask for help from her. Your tears and fate are hers to accept and approve, so to her implore, won't you be for her as she was for me? As she falls to that floor, between a door and wall, she still worries for me, saying, Ali, Ali, my only supporter and friend has sacrificed herself for you and me. Follow her. Follow her and rush to that door of allegiance to your time's imam. Pledge allegiance even if you're left broken like the mother of Islam. If all had circled our house like they do the Kaaba, she would still be. If everyone had been like her, no one would need to defend me. Pay attention to the deceptive politics and demand truth instead. Your imam listens to your cries, so don't be like those who fled. I would tell you to be a mountain. I would tell you to be a mountain to your imam as a firm protector, but a mountain will still crumble when the earth shakes, so be even stronger. Plant your roots deep in love and commitment so that no one can uproot. To achieve success with your Lord, you must be present and resolute. My Fatima leaves me only because death has forced our separation. But know she is alive, waiting to accept you by those gates of heaven. She is waiting to accept you by those gates of heaven. Did you hear me? She is waiting to accept you by those gates of heaven. Did you hear me? Have I spoken loudly? Do not let yourself forget. I am hurting, but I must keep reminding. Man is ever forgetful. Remember to commit. Don't sit. Rush forward with ease like my Zahra did. Rush forward with ease like my Zahra did. Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Your grave echoes sound waves that pulsate. Angels humming hymns through the ground we step upon as slaves. Our chains are ones that we wore happily since the day the rains no longer came. The day the rains no longer came, because if they arrived a day sooner, the burning door would have never fell that way. But their fires created the strongest steel. So we chained our hearts so they could never strip us away. For they tried to tell us the most perfect woman was buried out of sight, never to see the light of day. Our hearts know that Fatima lies in secret for a reason. Our souls know that she was buried in the night because of treason and treachery. And Fatima's grave would never see the light of day, because that very fact testifies that her father was betrayed, and they burned him alive the day the rains never came. A pure messenger who warned people of the pathway to be righteous or astray. But not all the people in the age of ignorance were truly changed by his brilliance. Not all of the people in the age of ignorance were truly changed by his brilliance, and for some, whatever faith they claimed to have slipped away the day the rains never came. Muhammad had gone from this world appointing his successor, but the men of God have never lived without interventions from usurping oppressors, so they came for him. Bloodthirsty and drunk with power, intoxicated, the love of this world would devour their faith within the hours that Muhammad's soul ascended to the peak of divine towers. So they schemed, for their dream was not to please the Almighty and the All-Unique, for these men would only feel complete when they had a throne that would be nestled between their feet. So they poured oil upon the river of Kawthar and set it aflame the day the rains never came. They called his name, Ya Ali! Open the door, you must pledge allegiance to him and then to me. But she was his lion and she denied them entry. She was the leader of women from those days to the end of every passing century. So she stood. With the same force, Ali opened the doors of Khaybar. Zahra protected the door of Haydar. With the same force, Ali opened the doors of Khaybar. Zahra protected the doors of Haydar. For Muhammad told him, Ali, if betrayed, you must be patient and wait. Ali, if you fight them, this already fragile ummah will break. So like Ali was for Muhammad, Zahra became Ali's gate. So like Ali was for Muhammad, Zahra became Ali's gate. So she stood. for Zahrat's whole existence was an obstacle to unfaith. And even when they came to oppress her, she protected her oppressors. And even when they came to oppress her, she protected her oppressors from a burning hell that they would never escape. For even while under attack, she was trying to help them avoid making such a grave mistake. For this is the akhlaq of Ahlul Bayt. The enemies were admonished, even as they used scorching desert heats to torch the throat of Hussein. Zainab tried to guide them, even as they sent her tents aflame. Without compassion or shame, they burned Zahra, Zainab, and Hussein the day the rains never came. And they killed the rest, setting fire in their flesh as poison overtook their bodies in pain. And they killed the rest, setting fire in their flesh as poison overtook their bodies in pain the day the rains never came. But oppressors forget that there is one that remains. And the corruption and destruction of this world will be exchanged, for justice and truth over the world will reign, and the day the rains never came will be over and changed. For when the sun is hidden by the clouds, it will push them to let what they hold inside be exclaimed. For when the sun is hidden by the clouds, it will push them to let what they hold inside be exclaimed. And from the heavens, the river of Kawthar will rain. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصلي لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. From the heaven, when the river of Kawthar from the heavens rains, extinguished will be the door's flames, the day heaven's clouds will wash away the sands like a wave, and the hidden sun, and the hidden sun will illuminate the path leading to her grave, the day heaven's clouds will wash away the sands like a wave, and Zahrat's hidden sun will take us by the hand to her grave, the day the rains remain. Salawat ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad.
Thank you to the brother and sister for their recitation. Please give another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear Sheikh, dear brothers and sisters, all of those who are attending online. Thank you for joining us for the second night of our Fatimiyah program. First, I request that we please recite Surah Al-Fatiha on behalf of the marhumin and the Marhumin of the following sponsors: Haj Yusuf Shami, Muhammad Nabi Rahmani, Jafar Hidayati, Muhammad Shukri, Samir Kubaisi, and all the anonymous donors, all the shuhada and ulama who have died in the path of Islam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you would like to use the restroom is directly under the prayer hall through the back doors. They are open now. Also, please continue to wear masks throughout the program and try to, inshallah, social distance throughout everything as much as you can. Inshallah, we'll have Sheikh Osama's lecture, followed by the majlis with Brother Ali Abu Khadir, followed by Latmiyat. Inshallah, with that, if you could please help me welcome Sheikh Osama with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لك صدري رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome back to our talk or our lecture series. This year, Allah has given us the tawfiq to discuss a very important issue, which is the next life. Now, yesterday, Allah gave us the tawfiq, and we talked a little bit about the connection between talking about the akhirah, the next life, and Fatimiyyah. And we came to a conclusion that we don't want to be like the people of Medina. Allah had given them a chance. They had the ultimate wali. But the wali only wins when you and I, who are the followers, have two conditions. One of them is iman, and one of them is sabr. I want to talk a little bit about iman later. Sabr, when we say it, brothers and sisters, it's very different to the traditional sense of sitting and taking it, suffering through it. The true meaning of sabr, brothers and sisters, what the Quran teaches us is that sabr means resistance. So what happened to the people of Medina? And why are you and I asking this question? Because God, before he sent Imam Hussein to do his mission, which would have liberated the globe, he sent Muslim. Muslim was the test. You and I were at a stage where mankind is very ready for the coming of the Mahdi, but Allah tested us with another wali. Will we pass the test of our wali so that we can pass this test and go to where we need to go? Remember the words of Shaheed Qasim Soleimani. You will be asked about the waliul faqih. We know how it goes. The people failed Muslim, and after they failed Muslim, then we saw the slaughter of Imam Hussein. God won't repeat that mistake. So what happened to the people of Medina? What was their problem? The people of Medina were a lot like you and I, actually. They were good people. They prayed, they fasted, they were devoted to Rasulullah. They were very good with the wajibat. You'd be surprised, the people of Medina, it's mentioned in history. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, salawat please. Would make wudu. When he would make wudu, the mu'mineen would gather and they wouldn't allow the drops of wudu to fall from the hands of Rasulullah to the ground. But what was the problem then? Wajibat were there, alhamdulillah, doing their job, good people. You see, the problem of the people of Medina was they would pick and choose with Islam. There were certain parts of Islam that they really liked, that they would do. But then there were other parts of Islam that were difficult, that went against their interest. And there, those mu'mineen failed. Picking and choosing. Islam is not a buffet. This is very real. If you want to be one of the Shia, you've got to do what the Ahlul Bayt say. We don't believe that Imam Hussein died so I could live the life of Yazid. I could pick my favorite parts of Islam and then do those. Listen to how Lady Fatima describes a Shia. A man sent a letter through his wife to Sayyida Fatima, and he asked, I want to find out, am I one of your Shia? She wrote back. She responded. She said, In kunta ta'amalu bima amarnak. If you do those things we command you to do, wa tantahi amma zajarnaka an. And you stay away from those things we have told you to stay away from, فَأَنْتَ مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا. If that is true, then you're one of the Shia. وَإِلَّا فَلَا. Otherwise, definitely, no, you're not one of the Shia. So for us, this discussion about the hereafter, and now I want to introduce today's topic. I want to do a couple of things. One is introduce the topic. Number two, ask a very relevant question. And then after that, give us some signs, areas for us, especially myself, to think about, am I one of those people who are in line with these teachings? And then finally, before Sheikh Ali Abu Khadr takes us to Medina, then I'd like to mention a story of the Ahlul Bayt to ready our hearts, inshallah. So tonight's topic, brothers and sisters, is remembrance of death and longing for shahada. Dhikrul maut. Dhikrul maut. And also we're supposed to have ishq for shahada. Longing for shahada. Islam is a very practical religion, brothers and sisters. Death is a reality that nobody will escape from. There's nobody on the earth, no atheist, no mulhid, no zindiq can say that people in the end, they don't die. No, everybody dies. What does Islam say? This reality which is going to happen, prepare for it. Get ready for it. Use this opportunity. Build that hereafter. We're talking about infinity. Infinity. What does Imam Ali say? He says, "Wasta'iddu lil maut." Prepare yourselves for death. You're going there. One day we will be questioned. You will be able to say that, oh Allah, I spent this evening listening to the majlis of Lady Zahra, preparing for death. This is preparing for death. Prepare for, it's on its way, let's get ready, let's gather something. But more than that, brothers and sisters, we don't only want to prepare for death. It's like we're bracing ourselves for something terrible that's going to happen and we're going to avoid it. We want to become one of the people of the hereafter. There's a beautiful section of our ahadith discussed by one of our late urafa, Ayatullah Sa'adat Parvar. He has a beautiful discussion about Ahlul Akhirah, based on our hadith. There are some people who, in this dunya, before they die, are Ahlul Akhirah. They're so in love with the hereafter, ready for that journey. Now, here, they're Ahlul Akhirah, the people of the next life. And Rasulullah tells us, meaning God tells Rasulullah in that beautiful hadith, he says, أحب الآخرة, love the next life, وأهلها, love the people of the next life. Can we be the people of the next life? The people who right now, while we're in the dunya, prepare for it, as Imam Ali says, long for the hereafter and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love shahada. Because remember, Lady Fatima, when she was given that news that her father was going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she was very overwhelmed. She was crying. She was very, very upset. And then Rasulullah, they say, he called her and told her, and he whispered something to her. After that, dhahikat, she laughed. She was so happy. What did Rasulullah tell her? He told her that she would be the first of his family to join him, to meet Allah, to become shahida. She was overjoyed with this. You've heard in the Masaib when it's mentioned where she says, oh Allah, ajjil wafati. Take me away. She longs to meet Allah subhanahu. She's not afraid of death. Yes, she took a stance that no one took. She defended her wali. She didn't apologize. She didn't run away from the truth. Ali was alone, she stood.
She sacrificed herself, and she longed for the hereafter. So we need to talk about this hereafter. Allahumma tabaarakallahi ridwanullah ta'ala alayh. He was telling his students, prepare for infinity. We're here for a little while, but what we're doing here will count forever. Sometimes in the ahadith, Allah explains to us through the words of the Ahlul Bayt what the next world is like. Just help us get ourselves ready for it. One of the things that's mentioned, we're not going to be able to get to it on this series. What is the sirat like that we're all going to pass over? That is a unique test. I want to mention this particular hadith from Imam Sadiq because it helps us to slowly understand what infinity is. Imam Sadiq says this, إِنَّ لِلْقِيَامَ خَمْسِينَ مَوْقِفًا. When you and I are standing on the Sirat, on the Day of Judgment, there's 50 stations that we have to pass. Mawqif. Those 50 stations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us to find out if we were good slaves of Allah. The Imam says, each mawqif is 1,000 years. Each mawqif is 1,000 years. Infinity, brothers and sisters. Once Angel Jibreel was there delivering wahi to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So as he was delivering wahi, in the midst of wahi, then the Prophet says, I heard a terrible sound. Terrible sound. Jibreel, his face changed out of terror. I asked Jibreel, what was that sound? Jibreel said, when Allah made hell, he made one of the pits of hell like this. It's super deep. He said what happens is they threw a black rock when after the pit was made. They threw a black rock off that pit, and now after 13,000 years, the rock hit the bottom of the pit. That was the sound you heard. Who's the pit for? For those who drink alcohol and don't pray. 13,000 years for the rock to fall, not the adab. Not the adab. But as I mentioned, brothers and sisters, this discussion of the akhirah is one that gives motivation. It one that gives hope. It one that makes us know how valuable the Ahlul Bayt are. For you and I, the tears you shed in the majlis for Lady Zahra, count those tears. I want to give you a beautiful hadith that our Prophet is telling Salman. It's going to give us hope, brothers and sisters. He says this, Ya Salman, Man ahabba Fatima ibnati, fahuwa fil jannati ma'i. Whoever loves my daughter Fatima will be in paradise with me. Whoever loves my daughter Fatima. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهَا. Whoever hates my daughter. فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ. That person will definitely be in hell. He says, يَا سَلْمَانْ حُبُّ فَاطِمَا يَنْفَعْ. The love of Fatima is beneficial, the Prophet says, in 100 places. He says, the least of those places that your love of Fatima will come to your rescue, he says, are six. Are these. Al-Mawt. At the time when you and I pass from this world, That's when the love of Fatima, the tears you shed for her, your heart burning for her, the khidmah that you did for her, the poetry that you recited for her, the service that you did for her, that hub of Fatima will come to your rescue at the time of death. When else? He says, wal qabr. When you and I, when we're placed in our grave and we're utterly alone, there that love of Fatima will come to our rescue. Wal mizan. The scale. That's another very important discussion in our hadith. What does it mean, that scale, when our actions are weighed, when we're figuring out where we go, paradise or hell? Your love of Fatima over there is very weighty. Wal mahshar. And on the day of resurrection. Was sirat. And when we have to pass over that bridge, the sirat. Wal muhasaba, and at the time when God takes account of you. Those are the least of the places that your love of Fatima will show itself. You and I will be so happy we attended the majalis of Lady Fat. We spent. We showed love. We showed respect. The Prophet continues talking to Salman. He says, فَمَنْ رَضِيَتْ عَنْهُ إِبْنَتِي فَاطِمَةً. Whoever Fatima is pleased with, رَضِيْتُ عَنْ. I, Rasulullah, will also be pleased with that person. وَمَنْ رَضِيْتُ عَنْ, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ. Whoever I am pleased with, God Almighty will be pleased with. وَمَنْ غَذِبَتْ عَلَيْهِ فَاطِمَةً. And those who Fatima is furious with. غَذِبْتُ عَلَيْهِ. I, Rasulullah, رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, will also be furious with that person. وَمَنْ غَذِبْتُ عَلَيْهِ, غَذِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. If I am displeased with somebody, if I am angry at somebody, God Himself is angry at that person. He says, Ya Salman, waylun liman yadlimuha. Woe to the person who does dhulm to Fatima. Wa yadlimu dhurriyataha. And does dhulm to her children. Wa shi'ataha. Her Shia also. Even you and I. And every Shia that we're interacting with. We're all the children of the Ahlul Bayt. Me and you, and also everybody else. God forbid we have to answer on the day of Qiyamah because I did loom to the children of Fatima, to the Shia of Fatima. So now, the question. That was a little bit about the topic. We want to go over and prepare ourselves to be ready to meet God, to be longing for Shahada if we have to go, then the best way to go is fighting for God, ridding the world of the tawaghit. Question is this. I know you guys don't have it, but it might be a question that some people might have. Is it, forgive me, but I'll just ask the question. It's a question that might come to the mind. Is it really healthy to be talking this much about death? Is it good for our mental health? You know, everybody's talking about mental health now. And you know, is that really good? We should be spending all death, qiyamah, it's going to happen. Is that healthy? Brothers and sisters, I want to talk about some of the signs of being Ahlul Akhirah. You're going to realize from, I'm just going to be able to mention a few of the ahadith. If you're Ahlul Akhirah, if you're thinking about death, preparing for death, longing for Shahada, you live better here. You experience more of Allah's goodness here. And then the hereafter, not only you, those who have some interaction with you, your family members, your children, other Shias, your co-workers, if you're really Ahlul Akhirah, not only are you experiencing God's best, they're experiencing God's best. So what are some signs then to see if we are people who are Ahlul Akhirah? What does Allah grant those who are Ahlul Akhirah? Now, I'm going to share some different hadith, but I'd also like to make it a little bit relevant for us to think about. One of the gifts that Allah grants you is true love. True love. How much are people in this world looking for love? How much do we need love? You and I, we've talked about this before, where the request of Imam Sajjad was that, oh Allah, make me beloved in the heavens and the earth. Make me both muhib and mahbub, Imam Sajjad said. How much do we need love? Where do you find love when you become someone of the akhirah? What about all the love we see around us? If it's not based on love of Allah, that love is enmity. You and I all saw our outgoing president, Donald Trump. Do you guys remember how much he would praise his allies? Look, when he would be introduced, you're great people. This is a good guy. Remember that? And then when it came time for him to save himself, he was willing to make each and every one of those guys walk the plank. Even Mike Pence. There's no honor amongst thieves. It's all, I want to share the hadith later. It's all selfishness. It's all my interest. What can you do for me? No matter how much. By the way, it's true for other presidents. True, let's not think, oh, when Biden comes, alhamdulillah, Sleepy Joe, we'll get it together. No, he's just like them. Yes, he knows how to be presidential. But I'm going to mention the hadith of Ahlul Bayt. There's no true love without being Ahlul Akhirah. They don't love each other. They use each other. They benefit by each other's presence. It was so sad. I don't know if you're reading the news. Those foolish people who, out of love for Trump, they stormed the Capitol. Remember that? Just happened a couple of days ago. They stormed the Capitol. Did you see how quickly Trump threw them under the bus? Those poor saps. One of them, she rented a private jet. She flew on a private jet to come there to serve. You can look this up in the news. She said, my patriotism is on display. My president came to tell me to come to the Capitol. And then as the FBI rounded her up, poor lady's like, you know, I'm asking President Trump for a presidential pardon. Good luck with that. But it's all like that, brothers and sisters. It's people using one another. There's no true love. What have you done for me lately? Let's look at this hadith. The hadith is this. The scary hadith is about the Ahlul Dunya, and then after that, the good hadith is about the children of the Akhirah. So Imam Ali says this, وُدُّ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا يَنْقَتِعْ لِإِنْقِتَاعِ أَسْبَابِهِ. The love of the children of the dunya, those who love one another for the dunya, as soon as the reasons that were keeping them attached are gone, the love's gone. Up until yesterday, I was fighting for you. I stormed the Capitol. I live streamed. I FaceTimed my event. I said, this is me. I'm at this real estate. The poor lady was from a real estate agency. Support of my president. And then the president threw them under the bus. There's no need for you. What about the people of the hereafter? أبناء الآخرة. You and I, inshallah, would do أبناء الآخرة. If you love one another for the sake of Allah. Imam Ali says, يَدُومُ لِدَوَامِ سَبَبِهِ. Because the reason for your connection is permanent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the akhirah, the mission, the cause, the love is permanent because the reason is permanent. True love. I don't know how many of us have seen those pictures where our shuhada, before the battlefield, before they go and to enter the battlefield, there's video footage. And these individuals are loving, are hugging one another, shedding tears. They know this is going to be it. We're not going to see these people. The amount of love, caring, compassion. I was looking at some of the pictures of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah and Qasim Soleimani. Even the pictures show you love. How much they cared about one another. What happens is, the only way to love somebody is when you love something else more. Otherwise, we human beings were very selfish. We might not show it. We might be very presidential. We might not say it. But in the end, we're looking for our interests. Unless our interests are God. Once, Imam Qadhim alayhi salam, salawat please. A man invited Imam Qadhim for a meal. Imam came. When the Imam came, the man let the Imam sit outside in the yard. He had like some sort of a bench or something. The Imam's sitting there. And he goes inside to get some food to bring it for the Imam. When he comes out and he sees the Imam smiling, the Imam's laughing. He said, "Why are you laughing?" He said, "As I was sitting here, there were two birds, and they were talking," because the Imam knows the language of the birds. He says they were talking, and the male bird was talking to his wife, so he's sweet-talking her. And he starts telling her, the hadith is here, the different sweet words he's telling his wife, and he said this. He said, "I love you more than anyone in the world, except that man who's sitting on the bench." And the Imam, that was deep. He appreciated that. I love the Imam. Because of the Imam, I love the person. How does it manifest itself? The verse of Quran says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu alladhina yuqatiluna fi sabili saffa." God loves those people who fight in his way. And ranks كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْسُوسٌ, as if they are a compact wall. There's nothing, no ego, nothing. Everything is God. So true love, that's one of the signs of being Ahlul Akhirah, one of the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of them. What else? Death, brothers and sisters, Akhirah is the great equalizer. The great equalizer. In the end, life's not always fair. Life's not always fair. God never promises us in the Quran, in Sunnah, that if you're a good person, everything you want's going to happen for you the way you want it in the dunya. Now what happens is, you and I, when we go to the next life, and God shows us why he did his plan his way, we're going to all be very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be so happy. He makes it up for us. His plan for us is better in this world when we see what's behind the curtain, and we're going to realize that. Not only that, over in the next life, it's the great equalizer. He makes it up for you. Whatever you didn't get here. We have hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't apologize to anybody. Allah is al-mutakabbir. He doesn't apologize to anybody. The hadith make an exception. Who does God apologize to? The hadith tells us. Except for the poor mu'min, the believer who had financial difficulties. The hadith says he apologizes to them like a brother apologizes to another brother. God in the hadith tells the believer, he says that, I swear by my izzah and jalal, I didn't make you poor because you were a nobody to me. It wasn't because you were a little guy. I didn't give you those difficulties for that. God will command, he will say, lift that veil. The veil will be removed from the eyes of the mu'min. When the mu'min sees what God has given him in exchange for the poverty, the mu'min will say, whatever I did suffer from in the dunya was nothing. This, I like this. God makes it up to the believer. The akhirah is the great equalizer. Masa'ib in the dunya are easy for ahlul akhirah. Everybody goes through masa'ib. Ahlul dunya also go through masa'ib. But some people, it breaks them. You'll see people, they're so brittle. They're going through difficulties. How is the mu'min or mu'mina? First of all, I know God's good. I know this is in my interest. I'm using this difficulty to get me close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not broken. Remember that beautiful hadith that we had from our prophet Nabi Dawood? Nabi Dawood, we're told in a hadith, that he wanted to see who would be with him in his daraja in paradise. And Allah told him, he said, such and such, that girl, she lives over there, she's going to be in your daraja in paradise. So Nabi Dawood was curious. He went over to see her. And then when he met her, he started asking her, so what do you do? Find out her a'mal. Is she making salatul layl every night? What is she doing? I mean, be with the Nabi in paradise? She started telling him, and then the Prophet, Nabi Dawood, he wasn't that impressed. It wasn't like, oh my God. Then he asked her about her relationship with Allah. And she said that whatever situation Allah puts me in, I'm more grateful than the last situation. She would go through difficulties, sickness, this would happen, that would happen, disappointments. Each time she's like, God is good. I'm more in love with him. When Nabi Dawood heard that, he was like, that's what happens when you think good of God. You end up with your prophet in the same level. Husnuddin. God is good. God's on my side. He doesn't give me anything that's beyond what I can bear. He says in Quran, La yukallif Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. He's not going to give me anything that's going to break me. If it's difficult, it's for me. Of course, that doesn't mean I don't resist. I don't try and make it better. I don't try and fix it. No, those are also instructions of Ahlul Bayt. I'm going through a difficulty in my marriage. Should I just say, well, God's willed it? No, try to fix it. I'm suffering from a sickness. Do I try to go to the doctor? Do I say, no, it's no need. Allah brought it there. They say, once one of the Anbiya, he fell sick. And then he wouldn't go to the doctor. He said, I'm not going to go to the doctor until the one who made me sick cures me. And then Allah told him. He was like, no, you go over, you take this medicine. The shifa is from me. You do your job. But how am I when I'm going through the difficulties? That's the thing. The third one. The third sign, if we are people of the hereafter, life for those who are with us is also better. Especially people see Ahlul Akhirah when we go through difficulties. For instance, I want to give you some examples. One of the things that stops people from experiencing Allah's best, let's use the example of a family. We're a family. Husband, wife, children, individuals who are interacting with one another. Sometimes what happens is I was trying to do my job. I was trying to do my responsibility. The other person doesn't reciprocate. They're not nice. They're not kind. They don't treat me like I'm one of the children of Fatima. I'm sacrificing. I'm doing my responsibility. They don't observe my huquq. You know what the temptation that Shaitan does? Shaitan wants me to throw what I've done back in their face. Instead of me realizing the ajr that I'm getting by sabr, because remember the hadith which we talked about, where we learned that when you go through masa'ib and you're patient, the reward is so great. The mu'min will wish on the day of judgment that I was cut to ribbons with scissors because of the thawab of the musibah was so great. How does shaitan work so that you don't get the benefit of the struggle that you did, the jihad that you did? Shaitan makes you throw it back in the face of the other person. What does God say in the Quran? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O you who believe, Surah Baqarah 264. O you who believe, la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. Don't make your sadaqah, your good acts, batil, by rubbing it in the face of the other person, tormenting the other person. Don't say those wrong words. Don't get rid of the thawab of your jihad. If you're like that, كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِيَاءَ النَّاسِ, like the person who spent their wealth to show off to people. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and doesn't believe in Allah in the last day. So the person who's Ahlul Akhirah, even when things are difficult, the person who's living for God lives very differently. The other people retaliate, they do the wrong thing. This person does proactive patience. They do their responsibility. They stand up when they're supposed to stand up. But throwing it back in the person's face? No. Misbehaving? No. I heard a story once when I was in Iran. They said that there was this guy. And this guy was going through some difficulties with his wife. So one of his friends came over. Now, the mistake that people make, this is even us as mu'mineen sometimes, we should be going for counseling before all the bridges are burned. Some people come, you know, Sheikh, now it's all over, you know. Do the talaq. Wrong time for counseling. When things are great, before we get married, what have the Ahlul Bayt said? How do we stay married? Don't wait till... Some people don't. Now, what happens is these people had gotten to a stage where now they were facing a lot of difficulty, but this guy in the story, he wasn't one of those good guys who's trying to find out to help. He was looking for a little dirt, some of the lurid details, what's going on. So he came to his friend, his buddy. He said, I hear things aren't so good between you and your wife. What's going on? He knew she had done some dirt to him. What's going on? Remember, there's a difference. If you're going for counseling, you have to tell the person everything so that the person can fix it. The counselor is not going to judge. He knows there's two sides to every story. She knows there's two sides to every story. They'll figure it out. They have to listen to you. You have to talk. If they don't know, how can they fix? But this other person wanted dirt. So he told him, he's like, I heard things weren't going so well between you and your wife. And the guy who was Ahlul Akhirah, he said this. He said, she's my wife. When have you ever heard that a real man will go over and tell a stranger dirt about his wife? The friend was, oh my God, no. My bad, sorry. He left. He waited. He waited until they got divorced. The problems didn't get fixed. They got divorced. She got married to somebody else. He got married to somebody else. They moved on. And then the friend came back. Now's the right time. He came back. He said, so what happened between you and your wife? The Ahlul Akhirah turned. He said, have you ever heard someone who is a real man talk bad about the wife of somebody else? When you're living with Ahlul Akhirah, it's different. It's It's different. They're doing their responsibility. The last one that I want to mention, because there's so many, how forgiving are we? Ahlul Akhir are very forgiving. They don't rake you over the coals. How forgiving are we? How much do we love children? What is our motivation? You see, some people are motivated by the dunya, but motivation for the dunya darkens the heart. The person might be very ambitious, doing so many things. But what's driving you? Is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it akhirah? No! It's love of the dunya. It's a different motivation when you're ahlul akhirah. I'll give you the story from our one of our great ulama, and then after that, inshallah, our hearts, inshallah, will get ready for the masa'ib. So one of our great ulama is Ayatollah Al-Uzma, Mirza Shirazi. You may remember his name as that great alim who made the fatwa about tobacco back in the day in order to break the colonialization, the stranglehold that England had over the Muslims. He made a fatwa, a very, very important fatwa. That man. They said this, that once we asked Ayatollah Al-Uzma Mirza Shirazi, they said, if someone were to tell you, and this information they were to give you was to give you yaqeen, that you literally only have 1 week to live, what would you do? Only got 1 week to live. The Ayatollah said, I do exactly what I'm doing right now. The hadith tell us, Ad-dunya sa'a. This world is just a moment. Faj'alha ta'a. Make it obedience. Make it obedience. So now, brothers and sisters, before our brother takes us to the house of Fatima, I'd like us to know a little bit about who this lady is and how important she was to Ahlul Bayt. Inshallah, our hearts will be softer. We'll be able to benefit from the words of our brother a little bit more. Sheikh Panahian tells a story. This story that he's telling us, the guy he's telling us about, his name is MashaAllah. He's a carpenter, MashaAllah. And this individual, at the time he's telling this story, is about 70, 80 years old. So this story maybe happened 40 years ago, 50 years ago, Allahu A'lam. But Sheikh Panahian met him later in his life. Maybe he was 80 at that time when he met him. What happened? In Kerman, so he meets the guy. The guy lives in a city in Iran called Kerman. When he goes to meet this individual, the guy tells him his story. He says that I was a young man and I worked as a carpenter. I was a carpenter by trade. I had small children and I got sick. I got the typhoid fever back in the day. But a very, very bad case of it. I couldn't cure it. I couldn't fix it. I went to the doctors in Kerman. There was nothing they could do. They sent me from there to Isfahan. Nothing they could do. Shiraz, nothing they could do. Tehran, nothing they could do. Finally, the medical team said, send him back to Kerman. They sent me back basically to die. He said that by this time, my body had rotted so much, the stench from my body was such that the hospital staff would keep me out in the hallway until finally my kidneys also failed. At this stage, the medical team said, send him back home, give him hospice. He's going to die, go send him back home. So they sent me back to my house, and at this stage, I couldn't even hardly talk now. I would pass out, I would come to, I would... Hardly anybody would visit me. My mother came to visit me after the majlis of Imam Hussein. She had a handkerchief. And my mother had shed tears in this handkerchief of him from the majlis of Imam Hussein. And my mother came over to me and she said that I want to rub this handkerchief on you. I've shed tears for Imam Hussein in this handkerchief.
I'm going to rub this on your body. Imam Hussein needs to give you shifa. If I could speak, I wanted to tell my mom that, look, it's too late. It's over. I can't make it. My mom started crying and rubbing the handkerchief over me, calling on Abba Abdullah, cure my son. He says, because of my mother's tears, my heart also broke. When my heart broke, I started talking to Imam Hussein in my heart of hearts, and I promised Imam Hussein, if you cure me, I will hold majalis for you. Not only that, I will feed people in the streets. 2 days passed. After 2 days passed, he says that I woke up from my bed and I saw this handsome man in my room. The voice of this man was so special. He was so amazing to look. I looked at him. He was so amazing. I sat up from the bed I was in. I looked at him. I said, when they say that looking at an alim is ibadah, it's you they're talking about. The man said, oh, mashallah, what do you want? He said, I don't want anything from you. I want my master, Imam Hussein. I want him to cure me. He said, I'm Hussein. Don't you see you're better? I realize I'm sitting. He said, let's go get some water. Drink some water. You'll see you're better. We go together out into my yard, and there I have a little bit of water. And Imam Hussein says that you promised something, didn't you? You promised you would hold majalis? I want you to keep that promise. I said, yeah, I want to keep that promise. He said, how many nights are you planning to hold majalis? He said, I don't know, 10 nights? I want to give food to people in the street. He said, 10 nights. He said, why not hold majalis for 18 nights? Because my mother lived to be 18 years old. I woke up. I woke my family up, they see me, everybody's screaming, shouting, the neighbors think I died, they came to the house, everybody realized I had received this shifa. He says, later I would go to the masjid and people would tell me that you look so much like, oh, mashallah, he's like, it's me. He says, a year passed. He says, we were so poor, we were living off of sadaqah. But Muharram was coming, and I had promised Imam Hussein that I would hold majalis. He said, more than the sickness burned me, the idea that now Muharram is coming and I can't hold majalis for Imam Hussein, this was eating me alive. Finally, one day I was just sitting in my yard and I was crying. I was so depressed. I was begging Allah, talking to Imam Hussein, and again I saw Imam Hussein. He said, oh, mashallah, what's the problem? He said that I promised you that I would hold majalis, but I don't have any money. Imam Hussein said, don't you worry, you get up, you hold the majalis, the rest is us. He said, by the way, pass me that broom. I want to sweep the floor where those who are going to mourn, my mother will gather. When I woke up, I see that I get up, I start arranging things in the yard, putting down blankets. I have nothing, just crying, doing what I can. But the door on the yard knocks, and one of the local businessmen comes in. He comes in, he has a truck parked outside there. He just starts bringing in rice, tea, the things that we need. I tell him, I said, what was that for? What's going on? He said, don't say anything. Whatever you saw, I saw. May Allah help and accept our tears for Lady Zahra.
أفلح من صلى على محمد وآل محمد. ثانية على حب الزهراء. ثالثة على حب سيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك وعلى أهل بيتك المظلومين الطاهرين، صلى الله عليك وعلى ابنتك النازلة في جوارك. Peace be upon you, Ya Rasulullah, and upon your oppressed family, and upon the Lady of Light, your beloved daughter, Fatima. السلام على المكسور ضلعها، السلام على المغصوب حقها، السلام على الملطوم خدها، السلام على المسقط جنينها، السلام على المخفي قبرها. Peace be upon the one with the broken rib. Peace be upon the one whose right were usurped. Peace be upon the one who was struck on the face. Peace be upon the one who lost her Muhsin. Peace be upon the one whose grave remains hidden. After the attack on the house of Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam, she would live her days in pain and agony. Can you imagine how difficult breathing is for someone who lives with a broken rib? She would spend so much time near the grave of Rasulullah, complaining to him from the actions of this nation. As she would recite, ماذا على من شم تربة أحمد أن لا يشم مدى الزمان غواليا، أبا صبت علي مصائب لو أنها صبت على الأيام صرنا لياليا. What blame is upon the one who smells the fragrance of Ahmad? For surely they will never smell a scent like his. My father, the tragedies that have befallen me, if they were to befall the days, they will turn into night. What are these tragedies that befell Sayyidatul Nisa Al-Alameen? Al-Alameen. O Muhammad, this is your heart and soul. Her days have turned night with no console. Her hands barely raised as she implores, complaining the broken house and door. One of the tragedies of Sayyidatun Nisa was the attack on her house, in which one of them would later say, as he is dying, one of the things that I wish I never committed was violate the sanctity of the house of Fatima. But another tragedy that also befell her was when they usurped the land from her, a land that Rasulullah had gifted her during his lifetime. She even had her own worker that would be there after the oppressors took the government of Rasulullah. They replaced Fatima's worker there, as she would go and ask for her right. They told her, "O Fatima, you have nothing from your father, for the prophets don't leave behind inheritance." She went and she brought Amir al-Mu'mineen and she brought Ayman as witnesses, but they didn't accept from her. So then she went out to the mosque and she would deliver her famous sermon of Fadak. As she went to the mosque, they put a veil between her and the man, and she gave that powerful sermon in the mosque of Rasulullah. Yet to no avail, she would get nothing from this world as the days passed. So did the agony that the Lady of Light would live in. What kind of life would she live with her children? What kind of mother will be able to embrace her children? It's as if you see the four-year-old Zainab in front of you as she comes to embrace her mother Fatima. But ya Zainab, who will tell you that your hugs give her pain? How can she sit with her children when they eat, when the pain of her rib is bothering her and the agony's increasing? Fatima would tell Amir al-Mu'mineen, "Ya Ali, my will for you is that when I die, the oppressors don't attend my funeral, nor do they know where I am buried. Ya Ali, bury me in the night so that they can't come and visit me." She would call her daughter and tell him, "Ya Ali, all that is in this house is for my beloved daughter." And she would tell Zainab the trust of Karbala. Eventually, the days, the limited days of Fatima to Zahra came to an end. She was in her house with Asma. Amir al-Mu'mineen was at the mosque, and her children were not home. She would tell Asma, I am going into my room and I will recite the Quran. If you do not hear me anymore, Ya Asma, then know I have departed. And I have finally joined my father. One of the things that made her happy when Rasulullah died was that he told her, Ya Fatima, you will be the first to join me when I die. Soon after she told Asma this, Asma stopped hearing the voice of Sayyidatun Nisa. She went towards the room of Fatima. She called out, Ya Binta Khayra Ma Hamalathu Nisa. O daughter of the greatest that the women have ever carried. O daughter of the best to walk this earth. She began to kiss Sayyidatun Nisa, asking her, Ya Fatima, send my salutations to your father. But what will Asma say to the children of Fatima, as they soon will arrive in their home? When the young sons of Sayyidatun Nisa al-Alameen came home, the young Hassan and the young Hussein, Asma, oh Asma, where is our mother? We are used to our mother greeting us when we enter the house. Asma would say to them, my dear ones, your mother is resting. They would say to her, oh Asma, our mother's rest is when she sits with us. Every mother knows the comfort she receives from her children. They told her, Ya Asma, this is not a time our mother usually rests in. So then, Ya Mu'mineen, this is the tragedy that befell the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Eventually, Imam al-Hasan wal-Husayn, they went towards the room of their mother, Sayyidatun Nisa, all to find her laying there. Hassan comes closer towards his mother, and he sees that there is no life in that body of Fatima. He begins to weep and he says to his brother, عظم الله لك الأجر يا أبا عبد الله. They would call out, Ya Ummah Fatima, it is me, your beloved Hassan, why don't you answer me? It is me, please answer me before my life departs as well. As the young Hussein would come to her, Ummah, answer me. Answer me, for I can no longer endure this tragedy. The narration state that Imam al-Hassan was near her face, kissing her. while the young Hussein lied near the feet of his mother, kissing her feet. Ya Allah, what tragedies befell this house. O Zahra, O Zahra, peace be upon you. O Zahra, peace be upon you. Tonight from every eye, tears of blood for you fall. Every eye sees you crushed between the door and wall. Weeps for this sight, Zahra, the moon, the stars and all. And with them, from a wounded heart, your name we call. And with them, from a wounded heart, your name we call. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Oh Allah, we ask you by the sake of Fatima and her father and her children and her husband to accept our deeds on this night and to fulfill the hajat of all those who are in need, to cure all those who are ill, to preserve our respected and esteemed scholars, to have mercy on all those who have died on the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, to all of those we have mentioned, and for all of our deceased, we reward them the thawab of this majlis, along alongside Surah Al-Mubarakah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Opened my eyes, I saw you there. You showed me love unseen elsewhere. Thoughtful you were, you kept me sane. You were with me in laughter and pain. Your face is bright and resembles the moon. Oh my mother, 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 oh my mother. I can't believe that you left me so soon. Oh my mother, oh my mother. You used to sing a lullaby I dreamt of floating in the sky. I saw the angels passing by, showing me your place above high. You'd be awake, I'd be asleep. You'd caress me as I would weep. You'd think of me though far apart. You knew the way to mend my heart. Your face is bright and resembles the moon. Oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my mother. I can't believe that you left me so soon. Oh my mother, oh my. You used to sing a lullaby. I dreamt of floating in the sky. I saw the angels passing by, showing me your place above high. Wish you were here, wish we could meet. I'd kiss your hand and then your feet. You flew away, my pain's constant, but in my heart you are present. Your face is bright and resembles the moon. Oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my. I can't believe that you left me so soon. Oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my mother, Ya Fatima, how they've left you bleeding in fire, how you've been pressed against the floor, how they've crushed you against the door. You taught your lovers how to fight, defend the truth with all their might. They have become stars in the night. They have become our source of light. By Hajj Qasim Abu Mahdi, we make a promise to Lady. From Al-Quds to your Medina, your flag will wave high, dear Zahra. Oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my. I can't believe that you left me so soon, left me so soon. Oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my mother, oh my mother. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
O Zahra, we have come to mourn you. O Zahra, what sorrows befell you. O Zahra, now lonely without you. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, we have come to mourn you. O Zahra, what sorrows befell you. O Zahra, now lonely without you. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, see Ali, what a sight. Broken back for your rib with no might. O Zahra, see Ali, what a sight. Broken back for your rib with no might. O Zahra, washing you in this night. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, for Hassan shakes the throne, his kind heart now shattered all alone. O Zahra, for Hassan shakes the throne, his kind heart now shattered all alone. O Zahra, the poison to the bone. O Zahra, the poison to the bone. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, one last hug for Hussein. O Zahra, one last hug for Hussein. Angels cry, seeing him in such pain. O Zahra, one last hug for Hussein. Angels cry, seeing him in such pain. O Zahra, his body to be slain. O Zahra, his body to be slain. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, one last hug for Hussein. Angels cry, seeing him in such pain. O Zahra, one last hug for Hussein. Angels cry, seeing him in such pain. O Zahra, his body to be slain. O Zahra, his body to be slain. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, from your door to the tent. O Zahra, from your door to the tent. Now Zainab, Kulthum with your scent. O Zahra, from your door to the tent. Now Zainab, Kulthum with your scent. O Zahra, despite flames are not bent. O Zahra, despite flames are not bent. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, your Muhsin still alive. O Zahra, your Muhsin still alive. In Abbas, your baby does survive. In Abbas, your baby does survive. O Zahra, your Muhsin still alive. O Zahra, your Muhsin still alive. In Abbas, your baby does survive. O Zahra, from his stance do we thrive. O Zahra, from his stance do we thrive. Ya Zahra, 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 Ya Zahra. O Zahra, here we are one by one. O Zahra, here we are one by one. Together. O Zahra, here we are one by one. O Zahra, here we are one by one. With wisdom on your path, we fear none. With wisdom on your path, we fear none. Louder. With wisdom on your path, we fear none. O Zahra, here we are. one. O Zahra, here we are, one by one. O Zahra, here we are. O Zahra, here we are, one by one. With wisdom on your path, we fear none. With wisdom on your path, we fear none. O Zahra, for Mahdi, your grandson. O Zahra, for Mahdi, your grandson. O Zahra, here we are, one by one. With wisdom on your path, we fear none. O Zahra, for Mahdi, your grandson. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, we have come to mourn you. O Zahra, what sorrows befell you. O Zahra, we have come to mourn you. O Zahra, what sorrows befell you. O Zahra, now lonely without you. O Zahra, now lonely without you. Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra, Ya Zahra. O Zahra, we have come to mourn you. O Zahra, what sorrows befell you. O Zahra, now lonely without you. Ya Zahra, 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 Ya Zahra. السلام عليك يا سيدة نساء العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله.